Let us turn again to the chapter of God's Word that we read together. In Hebrews chapter 13, we will consider a portion of God's Word, as the Lord may be pleased to help us, at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The apostle exhorts the Hebrew Christians to consider the good example and the godliness of those who have gone before them. He's speaking of their rulers, that is, their leaders in the church, elders and apostles, those who have taught them the word of God. He exhorts them, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So he exhorts them to follow their faith, follow their godly example. And clearly it is our duty to remember the good example of those whom we have known, but who are not with us any longer. It is so easy to forget what is no longer in sight. But the persons that have had a good influence over us spiritually should not be forgotten. We should be thankful for them. We should remember them so as to follow their example of godliness. And how will we be able to do so? Where can we get the strength to follow the good example of those who have gone to heaven? Here is the answer. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Our godly leaders and mentors have gone into eternity, but the Lord Jesus Christ is always with us. He is the Savior still, and he is always the same toward his people. He will be with them. He will be with his people. He will be with you and me if we trust in him. So though he is bodily in heaven, Jesus is spiritually present with his people today. And he says in his word, as we have read, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that is how we follow the faith of those who have gone before us and who have departed from us, by looking to Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. This word part of God's word, this wonderful statement of truth, comes right in the middle of various instructions. And we may see our duty clearly as it is written in God's word, but we wonder in our minds, how can we achieve this? But the answer is always the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It is always by the help and strength of the unchanging Savior. And how wonderful it is to know that Jesus is the same. He never changes. He is the same today as he was yesterday. And he will be the same in the future as he is today. And so we never need to worry that our Savior will appear to us differently from what he was before. We need not doubt that he will change his character and his conduct toward us. He is the same always. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And so what he was to our godly leaders in the past, in their day, so he will be to us in our day. What he was to poor sinners in the days of his flesh, he will be to poor sinners today in the days of their flesh. And to those who believe in him, he will always be the same loving Savior throughout the endless ages of eternity. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So this verse is telling us that Christ is always the same to his church in every state and in every condition. The Old Testament and the New Testament, the church in affliction, the church in prosperity. Jesus is the same immutable Savior, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, the words may not have specific reference to the past and the present and the future, as we call it, because we're creatures of time. But it may simply express the great truth that Jesus is the unchangeable Savior. He is always the same always. And yet, tonight, it may help us to consider the Savior by looking at the text according to these three aspects: yesterday, today, and forever. And so, with the Lord's help, we will consider, first of all, Jesus Christ yesterday. That is, in the past, in the Old Testament, in a past eternity. Jesus Christ yesterday. And then secondly, Jesus Christ today, and what he means to believers at present, and the way he is to them today. And then in the third place, Jesus Christ forever. Jesus Christ forever, what Jesus will be to his people to all eternity. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, may the Lord help us as we go forward to consider Jesus Christ yesterday. Yesterday, of course, takes us back to the past. Sometimes the word yesterday is used in a derogatory way. Those who are of yesterday are ignorant. They just arrived on the scene. What do they know? That's how the word is often used, but that, of course, is infinitely far from the case here. The one who is spoken of is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's nothing new with the Lord Jesus Christ, but he himself makes all things new. Now, that's the wonder. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But Jesus himself is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Well, how far back does yesterday go? Well, clearly not just one day from the time that the apostle spoke. The apostle Paul, as we believe he's the author, the inspired penman, is not speaking about just the very day prior to when he wrote the Hebrews. But so how far back does he go? Perhaps to Jesus when he was crucified, or back to his baptism, or perhaps to his birth? Is he speaking of Jesus in the Old Testament period? Or does it not rather take us back all the way to eternity, from before the foundation of the world? As Moses said about God, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So from eternity, before creation, in an eternity past, as theologians say, and that's about the best we can do. With God there is no past. With him there is an eternal present. Well, we look at it from our point of view, what has taken place already, and that is the appointment of Jesus Christ as the mediator, the one who was set up from eternity and yet revealed in time. When I say set up, I'm quoting from Proverbs chapter 8, which is simply speaking of his appointment. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. So it's Jesus speaking, and he is the Son of God from eternity. And he says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old, before creation. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. That is, before the earth began, Jesus was set up as, he was set as the mediator between God and man. And so the one who is spoken of here in our text is Jesus, the same yesterday from a past eternity, and the same today and the same forever. What is this bringing before us other than the immutability of Christ? And the fact is, Jesus is Jehovah. We considered this morning that wonderful assurance of God who says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Jehovah, that wonderful, incommunicable name of God is bringing before us the fact that God is, that he exists from eternity, that he has the power of being in himself. He exists of himself. He is self-existent, and he does not change. I am that I am. And Jesus is God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. He is Jehovah, the great I am. And therefore, he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is immutable. He changes not. And so, from eternity, he was appointed to be the mediator. The emphasis here in the text is upon the mediatorial office of Christ, the mediator, the peacemaker, he who reconciles God and man. And he, as mediator, is the same yesterday and today and forever. From eternity, his delights were with the sons of men, as we read in the book of Proverbs chapter 8. And so it was always in his heart to save the sons of Adam. And God chose a portion of mankind to be the children of Christ. And Christ voluntarily entered into this covenant arrangement, willingly giving himself to obey and suffer in their room and place. And so a covenant was sealed between the Father and the Son. That was made from eternity. Made from eternity, before the foundation of the world, before the world began, Jesus was chosen to be the mediator, to work out salvation, to save his people from their sins. And after man was created, and after Adam fell, and the whole human race with him, sinking into sin and misery, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Christ to come, was revealed. He was revealed as the Savior of mankind. Christ was revealed in the first promise, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. And after that, there were many appearances of God. That is, God appeared to some of his people in the form of an angel or in the form of a man. These are called theophanies, God appearances. And we believe that in the Old Testament, it was the second person himself that was revealing himself to them. So when God appeared to Abraham, when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, when he led the children of Israel through the wilderness as the angel of God's presence, it was Jehovah Jesus who led his people through the wilderness. And he was the one. He was the one who provided for his people, who nourished them in the desert and provided the water that flowed from the rock. And who was that rock? It was Jesus, as Paul says. And when the children of Israel murmured and complained and tempted God, they were tempting Christ, Paul, the inspired apostle, says. They were tempting Christ. And so it was Christ who was, in the Old Testament times, revealing himself to his people. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the yesterday of eternity, and the yesterday of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ was the same yesterday when the types and the ceremonies were observed. He was the same when the sacrifices were offered up of lambs and goats and bullocks. One blood sacrifice after another offered up, while these were shadows of things to come. Shadows. And yet they were revealing that which was substantial, that which was real, and that was Jesus. The ceremonies, types, sacrifices, all the performances of the priests and their work in the tabernacle was all revealing Christ, the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever. It was the same Jesus Christ in the Old Testament that the Israelites worshipped. As the famous theologian John Owen declares, Jesus Christ, from the beginning of the world, was the object of the faith of the church, that is, from the giving of the first promise. And that first promise is in Genesis chapter 3 that we referred to already. And so the church in the Old Testament had to look forward to Christ who was to come. And it is the same Messiah that is spoken of here in our text. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday in the Old Testament and today in the New Testament. He was the one who was revealed to Old Testament saints like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they believed in him. And that's how they received forgiveness. All the types pointed to Jesus, and they were believing in him as revealed in the types. It is by Christ that they received full remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, and they were accepted with God in Christ. And they went to heaven, straight to heaven, every one of the Old Testament believers, on the merit or the credit of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was the same yesterday as he is today and as he will be forever. When the patriarchs and kings and prophets looked to him, they rejoiced in him. As Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced in it and was glad. And Paul is writing now at this time, of course, nearly 2,000 years ago, but he's writing here to the Hebrews that the ceremonies of the Old Testament have come to an end. And why? Well, that's because Jesus fulfilled them. And Christ has come already. He has accomplished all that the ceremonies were pointing to. The lambs were speaking about the Lamb of God, Jesus dying on the cross. Well, Christ has come. Paul says Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. But I believe Paul is trying to communicate to them this, that though the ceremonies are abolished, Jesus himself does not change. He was always the one that was revealed in the ceremonies and in the types. And now that the ceremonies have gone, Jesus Christ himself remains the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He was what he was to the Old Testament church yesterday, he will be the same to the New Testament church today. Well, 2,000 years have passed, and the question is for us today, are we believing in this same Savior? Looking to a Savior who has already come, we don't look back, rather we don't look forward, as the Old Testament saints did, with anticipation, wondering what exactly the Messiah would be like, where exactly he would grow up, and what all the particular actions and activities he would engage in and perform. No, we don't look forward with anticipation. We look back to one who has already come, but he is the same today as he was then. And he offered himself a sacrifice already, but the sacrifice of Christ is as meritorious and as real and powerful to us today as it was then. We look to a Savior who is promised to be with his people today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And believers can say, we know whom we have believed. We rejoice in him who has already come. He has worked out salvation, and he is still the Savior, this same Jesus. Well, let us consider in the second place, Jesus Christ today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. When we think about Jesus Christ in the past, yesterday, when we think about it as from eternity or as in time when he came in the days of his flesh, when he entered upon his public ministry, we must always remember he is the same. This may be hard to grasp at first. Paul goes out of his way to say he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We must remember he's always the same. He is the same at present. And like us, who are changing all the time, changing as time goes by, well, with Christ, he did not change over time. His love, for example, is timeless. It is eternal. Whatever he was in the past, therefore, past from our perspective, that he is at present, even at this very, very moment. So whatever is revealed in the Word, however long ago it was written, and it was written in time, that he is today. What was written then, this is what he is today. Whatever his procedure was in the way he dealt with sinners, that is his procedure today. That is how he deals with sinners now. Yes, it is true that he's in heaven. He is not suffering. He is not weeping literal tears in heaven. And yet he's still the same. He still has a heart full of compassion. He is still ready to receive sinners. He's still showing mercy upon those who come to him. And he's still assuring us that whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. There's a book entitled, written by Thomas Goodwin, The Heart of Christ in Heaven Towards Sinners on Earth. And I haven't really read the book, but it's a beautiful title. It's a book that I hope to read one day. But we know that Christ has a tender heart towards sinners, and he is the same yesterday as he is today. He's the same today as he was then when the poor leper came to him, full of leprosy, perhaps a sight that would cause most people to be aghast. And here is this leper kneeling down, coming to Jesus. Did Jesus shrink back? Did he say, "Don't dare touch me"? No, not at all. Of course, we know today and that we have to take precautions to preserve our health. But Jesus knew that what this leper had in all of its defilement ceremony, he could not possibly make Jesus defiled, because Jesus himself is the physician and the one who provides a spiritual cure. Not only a physical cure, but a spiritual cure. And he could take away not only the leprosy that was physical, but the leprosy that was spiritual, that awful disease called sin. But the point is how Jesus behaved towards that leper, that is how he will conduct himself towards us. If we, like the leper, are kneeling before him and beseeching him and saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." If we really feel that and really believe that exactly like the leper, then we can expect the exact same response from Jesus, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was moved with compassion. And what did he say? I will. Be thou clean. Oh, to hear those words in my experience, perhaps you're saying, well, you will hear them if you have the leper's experience. Humbly submitting to Christ, believing in him, Jesus will cure the leprosy of your soul. Well, again, the bodily presence of Jesus is removed from us. He's not with us physically and bodily. But are we any the worse off for that? Not at all. In fact, we are the better for it. Think of what we have. We have the inspired, infallible account. We have the narrative. We have the record. We have the very word of God. We have the very words of Jesus recorded by the infallibility of the Holy Spirit. So we have Jesus' own word. We know what Jesus said. We know what Jesus did. We don't need to guess at how he would act in certain situations. We already know, because we have his word and we have the assurance that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we know that in every situation he would conduct himself no differently today if he were here on earth in his body. It would make no difference. In the same circumstances as recorded then, so he would act the very same way today. But I said we had two things. We have his word, and we have his spirit. We have his word, and we have his spirit. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always. He was just about to ascend into heaven. How would he be with his people? By his spirit. The spirit would take the things of Christ and show them to us. The spirit would live and abide with us and dwell in us, Jesus said. And it is the spirit of Christ who is in and with his people. So, really, we are not limited by the words, the phrase, as if. That Jesus speaks to us, and he is dealing with us as if he were present. We can omit the words as if. Omit those words as if they don't need to be there. Omit them. He is present. He is with us. He is acting toward us just as he did here on earth physically and bodily. So this is not hypothetical. We have not only his word, we have not only the written record, but we have his spirit. And it's not only the word in our minds that we think about and we memorize and we go over and we meditate upon. Not only that, as wonderful as that is, we have his spirit controlling our minds, controlling, working in our hearts, impressing us with his truth. Jesus is with us. It is his abiding presence. As the well-known author Hugh Martin puts it in his book called The Abiding Presence. Jesus is with us spiritually. His bodily presence is gone, but that makes no difference. He's just the same Savior at present as he was yesterday. So we are, because his bodily presence is not with us, we're all the more reliant on his spirit. We feel our need of the spirit. The spirit works within us even more powerfully than if he were with us physically. He has poured out the spirit. This is the dispensation of the spirit. And so we have wonderful privileges in the New Testament era. He is just the same Savior present with us by his Spirit, and we are benefiting from the Spirit's work, blessed in our souls by the presence of Christ, by his Spirit. And so what Jesus says in his word to people in that day, in the days of his flesh, his physical presence, he's saying to us today, 2,000 years later. Remember, Christ was in the synagogue, and he spoke wonderful words in the hearing of his audience. When he read the prophecy of Isaiah, he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The scripture was speaking of Christ. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." He said, "This scripture, this word, is fulfilled in your ears." But he did not mean that the scripture was exhausted, that it was fulfilled only at that point in history. No. The scripture was being fulfilled then, but it is still being fulfilled today, and it will go on being fulfilled tomorrow till the very last day in this world, and until the last person believes in Christ. The Lord Jesus is still going about this work, preaching the gospel to the poor, and binding up the brokenhearted, still proclaiming liberty to the captives, still proclaiming liberty to you. Still saying of his weak people that he will not break the bruised reed nor quench the smoking flax. Still gathering the lambs with his arm and carrying them in his bosom and gently leading those that are with young. He's still doing this work. So, what does this mean to you? What should be your response? One poor says, "Well, I know what to do. I'm going to read the Gospels more." And good for you, children. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read them every day. Read, read, read. Study the life of Jesus. And pray that the Spirit of Jesus would dwell in you. And Jesus will speak to you. And he is acting toward you just as he was acting to the leper, the paralytic, the man born blind, to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, to Peter and James and John, to poor souls who were doubting, who even boldly claimed, "Unless I see the print of the nails in his hands and thrust my finger into his side, I will not believe." And if you're like that, doubting, doubting, Jesus will say to you, "Come forward. Put your hand in my side." Well, he's not physically present, but you can do that by believing and looking at the word. It's all there. And he will say to you, "Be not faithless, but believing." Believing. Believing the word. Believing the record. And believing by the Spirit. Relying on the Spirit to open your eyes to behold wondrous things out of the word of God. What Jesus did then, he will do for you now. He is the same yesterday and today. The same today as he was yesterday when he performed all the miracles. Well, we know that was extraordinary. That was attesting to the fact that he was God. And those miracles are not needed today. The Lord can still do things miraculously. That is true, he can. His power has not changed, but he does work today differently from that day in regard to the evidence. We have what is needful, and that's his word and his Spirit. We have the record of the miracles. We have his Spirit showing us his same loving heart towards women who are suffering a great fever, or little girls who have died. And if you feel that you're dead spiritually, well, there's a Savior who can raise the dead. All of the miracles, my point is showing his concern for souls in misery. How ready he was to help the centurion. But if you have strong faith like the centurion, you can say, "I don't need Jesus to come physically. I don't need to see a human hand touch my servant or my child. I believe in his power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just speak the word, Lord. It will be done." That's great faith. Is there a valiant for truth here? Is there a great believer here? Well, I hope there is. No matter how dark the day is, speak the word, Lord. Thou canst raise up children to Abraham out of these stones. Thou canst plant trees of righteousness, and just as the forest is thick with trees, God can plant human souls and raise them up in the church. Speak the word, because he is Jehovah. He is able to do it. He is just as powerful today as he was then. Well, the Lord Jesus was so ready to help. Well, we don't find him often turning away or reluctantly attending to the work. There was one or two occasions, as you know, the Syrophoenician woman, and she was saying to Jesus, please help my daughter possessed with the devil, and Jesus seemed not even to hear her for a little while. But you know why. He was trying her faith. And she persisted, and he said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. And so the daughter was healed. Well, all of this is telling us that we have no excuse to delay in coming to Jesus. How we should approach him swiftly. How we should come boldly to the throne of grace. Come, come now. Come to a precious Savior so tender-hearted he turned no one away. Find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John a place where he turned someone away who tried to come to him and seek help. Not at all. Never. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus spoke to those who were burdened and grieved in their minds. He knew their condition. He knew that they were toiling and they were weary with a burden of guilt and all their sins pressing upon them and troubling them. Jesus knew that. And he spoke to them according to their need. And he's still speaking to sinners today according to their need. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, all who are toiling and burdened, come to me. Come to me. You won't find a good minister saying, come to me. We preach Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go to him. You might come to a minister for help and understanding a passage or speaking about your spiritual needs, but to come to Jesus for salvation is what we mean. And what I'm saying is that he is God. And if he isn't God, then for him to say, come unto me and I will give you rest, well, that would be blasphemy if he was not God. But these words prove that he is God. He is the unchanging, immutable Jehovah. And even now, in his omniscience, he is revealing the Father. Isn't that what he says? No man knoweth the Son save the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Jesus reveals the Father, because Jesus knows the Father. He is one with the Father. He is omniscient. And therefore he can reveal the Father to you. He's still doing that. He's still in the business of revealing God to sinners of mankind in a saving way, still drawing sinners, still saving sinners. The same yesterday and today. See his tender heart as he pours out tears over Jerusalem. Yes, I said there are no tears in heaven, but he's still compassionate. And if he were still on earth, he would weep over souls that are perishing. He would weep over you, poor sinner, on earth, rejecting Christ. He is the same, full of love and tenderness. We have his inspired word. We have the power of that tender heart that is still in operation today, still captivating souls and drawing them and melting the heart of stone. Can you sit there and hear about Jesus weeping over perishing souls and you not be affected? What an icy heart you have. But look again and hear again. Jesus wept over despisers of him. He wept over those who were about to crucify him. He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, and it's still true of him. This man receiveth sinners. Now, they were attracted. These publicans and harlots were attracted to Christ because they saw that he cared. And they were saying, no man cared for my soul. The Pharisees don't care. Scribes don't care. The chief priests certainly don't care. No man cared for my soul, Psalm 142, but Jesus does. He did then and he does now. He cares. Go to him to experience that savingly in your soul. Come, for all things are now ready. He said that in the parable 2,000 years ago. He's still saying, and yet there is room. The same loving Savior towards his friends on earth. When he gave his life a ransom for many, what a service he performed. He said that he did not come to be ministered unto, not to be served. Gather a host of servants to, while he sits upon a throne, he gives orders and they listen to his beck and call. Well, in one sense, yes, he is the king and we are doing that if we're his people. But in the days of his flesh, in his public ministry, when he stoops down to wash the disciples' feet, he came to serve. He came to minister to others, even to the point of laying down his life for them. And he's still serving his people. He still loves them and offers the bread and wine to them. He's still at the head of the table at the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, still preaching the gospel through his ministers. They are his ambassadors. Christ is speaking. God is speaking through them. And Jesus, by his word and spirit, is still guiding his disciples today. He's still the good shepherd. He says, behold, I and the children, these are my children, which God hath given me. In the midst of all their afflictions, he himself is afflicted. Yes, he's not suffering in heaven, but he did suffer on earth. And he bears the impress upon his mind of all the suffering he passed through. He felt it. He experienced it, and he will never forget it. And he knows that his people have to suffer in this world, and they will go through tribulation, and we would be a false prophet if we said, you don't have to ever suffer again. You'll never get sick again. Just believe more, and you'll have more prosperity. You'll get rich. You'll have robust health. No. God may do that. He hasn't promised to. But he has assured us we will go through tribulation. If we're not ready for that, let's be praying we will be ready. And we can only be ready when we're laying hold of the fact that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is with his people. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Will he be with his people as they walk through the valley of the shadow of death? Yes, he will. They will fear no evil, for he is with them, his rod and staff. Comfort them, and he assures them, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, and you will do, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Jesus said, not a hair of your head will perish. And he means that he will be with you so much that it will be as if not a hair fell. He will assure you of his love. He will uphold you through it all. You will pass through it unscathed, not consumed. He will bear you up and bring you forth as silver and gold is tried. And when the enemy comes in to persecute, yes, the enemy will come in like a flood, but he will come also and defend you. And he says, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the third place, Jesus Christ forever. From a past eternity to the days of his flesh. Christ is the same yesterday and today, but to all eternity he will be the same. So whatever our concerns, whatever we're burdened with now, all that concerns us now, all that concerns us into the future, and in regard to the future, we know that our times are in the Lord's hand. And that is because he is the eternal God. Jesus is the eternal God. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And so we are safe for time and for eternity. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," on the cross, the work of suffering and death was over. And Jesus entered into his rest. He had paid the price for sin. He satisfied divine justice. He purchased reconciliation. He made peace by the blood of his cross. He finished the work. But his death on the cross, as shameful and painful and disgraceful as it was, the death of a criminal, was that just a death that was like a brief moment in history, never to be thought of again? It has no relevance for today? Not at all. It was the effect of his death only available at the time he was crucified? Not at all. He cried, "It is finished," but the effect, the meritorious effect, the effect in a way of worth and value and power to help us today is ongoing, is eternal, because he offered himself without spot to God through the eternal Spirit. He obtained eternal redemption through the offering of himself through the eternal Spirit, as the apostle says in Hebrews chapter 9. And that is how his sacrifice has eternal efficacy, power, merit, because of the dignity of his person as God, because the eternal Spirit dwelling in him without measure, Christ's sacrifice is as real and as effective as if he were crucified this very moment. It's as if he is bleeding on the cross this moment. If you saw that, you would say, "Oh, he is my Lord. I will trust in his blood." The blood is as meritorious and effective today as it was then, as if he were freshly bleeding on the cross. As if he were crucified this very moment, his blood cleanseth from all sin. His blood is as powerful and sufficient today as it was then, and it is sufficient forever as it is today. Jesus Christ, crucified, is the same yesterday and today and forever. The sacrifice of Christ is timeless. It stretches back in time to the very first act of faith, when the very first person believed in Christ to come. The merit stretches back then, and it stretches forward to the end of time when the last elect person will believe in Jesus. And the merit will continue forever, because he is the Lamb now and forever upon the throne, a Lamb as it had been slain in the midst of the throne of heaven. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. So perhaps you have had sweet assurances of pardon, and you knew that Christ had forgiven your sins. Perhaps he spoke to you as he did to the paralytic, "Son or daughter, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven thee." But time has gone by, and you see yourself as never before a sinner, guilty. Your sin rises up, guilt rises up, your heart condemns you. Where are you to go? It seems the sense of forgiveness has faded from you. That was a precious experience, but it's so long ago. Where are you to go? "Lord, to whom shall we go? says the Apostle Peter. And those words are applicable today as they were then. Where will you go in the future? Has the death of Christ lost any of its efficacy? No, the merit of his blood is the same today. It will be the same tomorrow. It will be to all eternity. And so you have relied on Christ. You're sure of that. You have the evidences of that, past and present. But the sweet sense of assurance, where is that? You believed. You were set apart by grace. And Paul says in Hebrews 9 that he has perfected forever. By one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Those who are set apart for Christ, he's perfected them forever. As Hugh Martin in one of his sermons says, while sin is rising up, so it's as if the blood is constantly being sprinkled upon it to wash away that sin every moment. You're perfected forever. Yes, guilt, you're conscious of guilt. The blood of Christ continually is applied. You're perfected forever. It doesn't mean that you don't need to confess your sins. It doesn't mean that you don't need to repent and exercise godly sorrow. But it does mean that your state is secure, unchanging. You are justified. You are pardoned and accepted. And the merit of Christ applied to you is unchanging. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. And it's when you get a view of Christ, when you see what he has done, when you see who he is and his unchanging attitude toward you, it is then that you'll get a renewed sense of pardon. When you're looking anew. With Christ, nothing changes, but with you, we are the ones who are changing, but we need to look anew to Christ and his precious blood to experience that forgiveness of sins and the assurance of it in our hearts. Jesus rose from the dead. He came from the tomb. He proved that the work was finished. And we're to go back to that, look to that, to receive the same experience today. The resurrection of Christ is the proof that he has put away sin, that the justice of God is satisfied. There is forgiveness with God, that he may be feared. We have the proof in that. We are to look to it to know that forever our sins have been put away as far as the east is distant from the west. When Christ ascended into heaven, remember the disciples? They kept looking up, watching and watching, seeing Jesus raised up, and then he disappeared, and they just kept looking up in the sky. Were they doubting his presence? Were they saying he's no longer with us? No, he had told them, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world," by his spiritual presence. But then something else happened. Angels appeared to them. And what did they say? "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? What are you looking for? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." This same Jesus, bodily present, no, but spiritually present, yes. And soon he will come physically. He will come. The unchanging same Jesus. So they have the assurance. They're not going to be in this world forever. He's not going to be absent from them physically forever. They do walk by faith, not by sight. They're not the worse for that. But they do hope to be better when they're with Christ, literally at present, in the body. Yes, that's what they're looking forward to. They're looking to Jesus who will come again to receive his people to be with himself, which is far better. And in the meantime, they are to rest assured. Believer, child of God, rest assured. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. He has given you grace already yesterday. He's given you grace today. He will give you grace tomorrow when you face another day. The Lord Jesus will sustain you in every conflict. He will defend you in every battle. He will protect you in every danger. Not a sparrow will fall to the ground without your Father in heaven And without Jesus being present with you, when you consider the future, and who doesn't think about the future? Yes, we know that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, and we're not to be anxious about the future, but how can we not be anxious about the future? By knowing that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever burdens we are expecting, whatever trials we are anticipating, whatever we expect, we have certain knowledge that Jesus is with his people now and forever. He will be the same to you always. He will be the same to you in the future as he is today. At present, you think to yourself, well, I have a great burden ahead of me. It's about to go through this difficulty or perform this duty. Will Jesus help me now as he did yesterday? Well, we have the word, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Go forward, press on, knowing that he will help you. When you are aging, when you're getting older, and the gray hairs are starting to appear, Jesus Christ will be the same to you in the future when hoar hairs come, as the prophet Isaiah says. He will still be with you. He will be near you. You feel that you're growing frailer. The body is, the outward man, Paul says, is decaying or perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day. He will be with you in the future as he has been with you in the past. And when you come to your last day on earth, the very last moment when you breathe your last breath, remember Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and beyond. Beyond the grave. In the moment of passing from time to eternity, what a transition. Who can grasp it? But you know, we're all facing it. Will we be ready? We can only be ready by looking to Jesus, the same yesterday and today and forever. When you think about your godly forebears, when you think about the leaders in the church whom you knew and respected and looked up to and benefited from by their godly example, you knew that Christ was with them. And you're to follow them and not set them on a pedestal, but follow their good example. And yes, follow their good example. But how? By looking to the one who, just as he was with them long ago or some time ago, he will be with you now at present because he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. When you pass through the waters of affliction or the waters of death, when Satan hurls his fiery darts at you, remember he is the same shield to protect you. A shield and buckler to you. He will protect you in every circumstance, in every state and condition. That is the message of Paul to the church. When in every state of the church, in prosperity, adversity, in low times, in good times, Jesus will be the same loving, caring Savior for them. When he comes at the last day to raise up his people from the dead, it's the same dear Savior who loved them when they were upon the earth, and he will love them in heaven, and he will lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Their eyes will focus and feast upon the blessed Savior, the one they knew by faith on earth. They will behold with sight to all eternity in heaven, the same sweet Savior whose name is as ointment poured forth. He was precious always in the days of their flesh, and he will always be precious throughout eternity. The Lamb in the midst of the throne. Are you looking to the Lamb? Will you not behold him? Will your face not be directed towards him? Look thitherward, look there, look to Christ, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, that same crucified one. And if you're looking to him, trembling soul, The same words will be applied to you. Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here in the grave. Yes, he's on the throne. He's still the same Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now is the day. Now is the day of salvation. And if you come to him, you will find the Savior never changing his attitude toward you. He will always care for you. He will always hold you in his arms as the one who gently leads his people and who says, "Fear not, little flock." And he says, "These are my children," and you will say, "This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever." May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Gracious God, what tongue can express thy grace and the glory of it, the wonder of it? Oh, that our eyes would be opened to behold these wonderful things, the wonder of him who is wonderful counselor, the one who is the Prince of Peace. Enable us to go to Jesus, go to Christ, whatever we do, that we would go to him and we would be found in him, held in his hands and embraced in his arm and leaning on the Beloved. May we go forward through this wilderness, looking to him who is the beginner and finisher, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hear us now, bless thy word, pardon our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.